Graham, what about spiritual beings here?
Yes, this is also part of the mystery. Down the ages, these visitors, let's call them that,
okay,
who have interacted with humanity, I believe they've been called by many different names. But I think they're all the same phenomenon. What really convinces me of this is, as I was telling you in the last segment, the images of the visitors that appear in the painted caves 30,000 years ago. I don't believe that the shamans of the hunter-gatherer societies who created those paintings thought of those visitors as aliens from other planets. They thought of them as spirits, as inhabitants of the spirit world. And the spirit world, to my mind, is just another way of speaking of a parallel realm or a parallel dimension, which quantum physicists now do all the time. It's quite intriguing. There are a number of societies in the world today that are still at the hunter-gatherer and tribal stage and that still have shamans. And these shamans enter trance states by various means. And in those trance states, they encounter what they construe as spirit beings, which have certain very definite characteristics. One of the most notable of which is the ability to shapeshift, that they sometimes may appear in human or humanoid form, but that often they appear as animals or as part animal, part human hybrids. And interestingly, in another period of history, there were also strange visitors who impacted on the human race. And in medieval Europe, they were known as fairies and mm-hmm. elves. Like spirits, because shamans often speak of being abducted by spirits, fairies and elves were also in the business of abduction and would take human beings away. In what sounds like an extreme form of the missing time phenomenon that we have today with alien abduction.
Would they bring them back?
They would. But here's the thing. It was a fearsome thing to be abducted by the fairies in the Middle Ages. Sometimes there would be a report of seeing a group of fairies dancing in a circle. And a curious traveler might walk up to that circle and touch it with his hand, and then instantly he would be drawn in, funneled through some kind of vortex at gigantic speed, and
wow.
and just bang, would suddenly find himself in a completely other world, which, of course, through the cultural spectacles of that time, was seen as fairyland.
Sure.
Interestingly, there are many accounts from the Middle Ages of individuals who found themselves in some kind of flying vehicle, often described as circular in form, which was the flying carriage of the fairy beings. And the individual would then experience passing a day and perhaps a night in the company of these strange and powerful entities. And might be given gifts, might be given healing powers, might be given secrets, and then would be returned to Earth. But a huge amount of time would have passed. They thought they'd been away for a day. They came back 300 years later. And, you know, this is so like the missing time phenomenon that we have with alien abductions today. It just seems like the visitors have got a little bit kinder. You know, instead of keeping us away for 300 years, they keep us away for 3 or 5 hours of missing time. So we have spirits on the one hand. We have fairies in medieval Europe, considered to be two completely different domains. And then we have the modern phenomenon of alien abductions. And although, unless people have studied this phenomenon very closely, they might not be aware of this, but very often UFO abductees, for example, John Mack's patients who recorded thousands of hours of testimony with him, will say that when they first encounter the alien, he appears not as a humanoid, but as an animal, perhaps as a wolf, or as a deer seen through a window, or as a huge owl which seems to have a person inside it, and often as part animal, part human hybrids. And then the shape-shifting will occur again, and suddenly the individual finds himself confronted by a typical gray. So what I'm seeing with these three supposedly very different phenomena is actually one phenomena viewed through different cultural spectacles. And our cultural spectacles today are the spectacles of technology and space travel. We have, after all, sent men to the moon. We're exploring our solar system, and it seems reasonable to us to conclude that the entities that we're having these fleeting and mysterious contacts with must be visitors from other planets who've just got higher technology than us. But the way this phenomenon has gone on for vast periods of time, and the elusive nature of the phenomenon, suggests to me that the shamans are probably right when they speak of spirit worlds, and that what they are referring to is indeed parallel dimensions.
What do you think of the work of Zachariah Sitchin?
I think Zachariah is a brilliant researcher. I think he's done incredible breakthrough work in opening up the past. And although I have been resistant over the years, as I mentioned earlier, to the very simple form of the ancient astronaut idea, I'm becoming more and more open to a more complex and subtle form of that idea. And I think, that Zachariah's work has been incredibly important. And some friends I was with in San Francisco a week or so ago were pointing out to me something very interesting about gold, which I believe figures in Zachariah's stories quite a lot.
They wanted to come here for gold to sprinkle up particles in their atmosphere.
They want the gold.
Yeah.
And actually, I've tended in the past to resist this, but what my friends were pointing out to me is that actually gold, it may be very, very rare in the universe. It may be something that's actually unique to our solar system, that it's produced by our sun at the particular frequency at which it vibrates, organizing crystals into metallic forms. And an anomaly was pointed out to me, which is that human beings have been mining gold for as long as we can remember. I mean, 10,000 years at least, perhaps much longer than that. And yet, it doesn't seem to be increasing in quantity. It seems to be getting scarcer. So the question is, where is it all going? And this makes me think, actually, Zachariah could well be on to something very, very major here. So I have high respect for his work, and I think it's important work, and I think he's helped to introduce to a very wide reading public the absolute fact that our past is extremely mysterious and that large parts of it are unexplained.